Hello, everyone. This is the award-winning The Football Sack podcast. I'm Matt Greenlaw, and I'm joined in the studio by both Michael Rocek.
Hello there.
And Supernova Pete.
Hello there.
Hello there. Boys, you're not looking worse for wear in the morning. You must have got a good night's sleep after the Celtic game last night.
Yeah, I got a good solid 6 hours.
Yeah, I had about the same. I had a few beers during, so yeah, it's pretty well imbibed by the time I passed out.
Now, for our listeners, last night, Saturday evening, was the Celtic versus Central Coast Mariners out at ANZ Stadium. 19,500 people attended that game. A decent amount of Celtic supporters there, out there in the jungle. So good on them for attending.
Yep.
Quite a few Central Coast Mariners fans as well, because the result was 1-0. Troy Hierfield getting the goal in the 87th minute to give Central Coast Mariners a surprising, some would say, 1-0 win.
Yeah, against a understrength Celtic, that was for sure.
Yeah, it was understrength, wasn't it?
Yes. They only had probably about half of their first team there, and the rest of their players were reserve players or youth players who were trying to break into the first team. Most of the Celtic squad will actually be turning up either today or tomorrow over in Perth, so that way they'll be ready to go for the Perth match on July 9th at NIB.
Yeah, that's true. But take nothing away from the Central Coast Mariners. They played an exceptional style of football. Graham Arnold has them really well drilled. Very solid rock across the back, the four there, with Rose, Svanzvijk, Griffiths and Bojic. And then across the midfield with Bozanic, really organising the lot. And Pellegrino through the middle in the absence of Amini. And
it was horrible.
Yeah, but I don't think he was that bad. I think
nothing.
Yeah, but you know what? He's new to that club, and he's just come into it. He's new to the setup. He was a player who showed signs at Perth Glory without showing great things. But at the end of the day, that was probably a Perth Glory thing. And then they had Passfield in goals, who did quite well, made some good saves in the absence of one or two more preferred people who were away.
Yeah, Matt Ryan obviously being the preferred number one keeper for the Mariners. You talk about the defence because Central Coast Mariners, first half, they had a lot of the possession. Celtic, we were joking with a couple of the Celtic fans in front of us, when are you guys going to get the ball and show us some football? But their defence, when in the second half, Celtic came out of the sheds and looked the better side for at least 20 minutes, their defence held strong, Michael.
Yeah, they certainly did. And it was really something to behold, the way they withheld those attacking runs from one or two unnamed players who were on our wings. Josh Rose ably assisting down the left hand side. He had a phenomenal game, and he's really building up a great head of steam for the new season.
The people I believe you're actually talking about, Pej Bojic on that right hand side.
No, I'm talking about Celtic players.
On Celtic players?
Yes.
We had James Forrest, who was playing on that right wing.
Yeah.
Wearing the number 49 jersey. Yeah. He was fantastic. He was probably the only Celtic player, apart from their captain, Scott Brown, who actually took on players, passed the ball around nicely, and wasn't afraid to take a cross or a shot every so often.
Mm. And he made some amazing runs and got hit with some amazing balls. But always, at the end of the day, when the opportunity presented itself, Josh Rose was there, taking the ball away and looking much more assured than his more fancied opponent.
The result, the 1-0 win for an A-League side to get a win over a Scottish side, Scottish powerhouse, some would say. Well, everyone would say, I guess. Even though it was a friendly, Celtic have just got off the plane. The 2 days, it was probably a bit jet-lagged. Celtic fans will find plenty of reasons to look at this result as nothing special. Do you think this is good for the league as a whole? Does it show the A-League off at all, Pete?
Yeah, definitely. The most important thing now is making sure that these Celtic supporters come back and watch an A-League game. That is going to be the biggest task for clubs such as Central Coast, who need the spectators, especially Perth Glory on the 9th of July, like I said.
How do they start to do that? How do they reach out to these Celtic supporters?
Well, automatically bring Celtic out to an A-League club and seeing what the stadium is and what the fans are like. That's obviously step one. And now that they've seen a game, they know what the players are like, they know who the standout players are. like all the Celtic guys, they knew who Michael McGlinchey was, and they're all saying, "Oh, Michael McGlinchey's such a fantastic player."
And he had a good game.
He did, and that's something which all A-League clubs are going to have to work on now, is trying to make sure that these Celtic players are going to stick around, either by giving them like discounted by having group admission, so we have like the Celtic supporters group having a discounted general membership or something like that. That would be something which would work really well, I think.
And there's a good way to reach out to them in that you now, having them bought these tickets, they now have all their details, one would think, via Ticketek. So, sure, the club should be able to access that and say, hey, Celtic fans,
well, you just find them
play
on Facebook. Just search on Facebook, Celtic Supporters of Australia, and you'll find them right there. How hard is it?
And look, it does take a while for the A-League, in the eyes of some non-football or non-Australian football fans, to build legitimacy and to build, a brand which they feel, that there's a bit of pride in. And I don't think it was better shown by the Scotsman in front of us. He was a Scottish Australian. He come from Scotland. His kids were all fresh faced Australian kids with Aussie accents who knew a lot about the A-League players. But when we were sort of giving him a bit of stick about when Celtic might turn up and actually play and get the ball from the Mariners, he turned around and said, "Oh, nice Sydney FC scarf. How rubbish is the A-League?" And then we sort of asked him, "Well, have you been to any games?" And he said, "No." And in some sort of indecipherable Scottish accent said, "No, I don't want to, basically. I don't
admittedly, he
it.
Didn't come with subtitles, so we couldn't actually understand half the things he was saying. Yeah. But one positive out of that game is seeing all those families who turned up. Mm. That was brilliant to see father and sons and whole families, mothers, daughters, everyone turning up for this game, wearing either Celtic, Central Coast, plenty of Liverpool jerseys there last night as well.
Yeah, you were wearing one.
I was wearing one. Come on.
Apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And look, that is something which I think is just absolutely brilliant to see around the place, that is for sure.
Yeah, and the Central Coast Mariners fans were identifiable when the goal was scored. They were hidden before the game. You thought the whole audience was a Celtic home crowd, but no, when the goal was scored, there was plenty of Mariners fans up in arms.
Exactly.
Having a bit of a chant.
Yeah, and speaking of the Mariners, I believe we've got a bit of A-League news to come up.
Yes, we do. Now let's jump to the news desk. The countdown for the A-League has begun with only 97 days to go. The new season is expected to be bigger and better than ever before, thanks to clubs creating better relationships with their fans. Melbourne Heart, Gold Coast United and Newcastle Jets have all released their latest membership packages, all of which are fantastically priced and accommodating to the fans' pockets. In transfer news, Marco Flores, who was pimping around the A-League, has decided to go to China. Flores, who is 25, will be earning close to $800,000 a year at his new side, Tianjin. It is rumoured that Celtic have identified Mustafa Amini as their next signing, with Neil Lennon reportedly a big fan of the player. And finally, the transfer saga with Harry Kewell continues, with A-League sides not being able to claim his signature yet. Sydney FC are considered to be back in the race for his services, whilst many are thinking that Victory will announce Kewell's signing before their friendly against Celtic on July 13th. And that's the news.
Cool. Plenty of stuff happening in A-League and football news across the country. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Let's move to what you first talked about. It was the ticket prices, that the memberships that the clubs have recently announced, especially, well, most significantly perhaps,
Newcastle Jets.
And the boys on the podcast for the Friday show, they had a bit of a discussion about this. They were talking about how good it was for the league that they've lowered the prices so significantly.
Yeah, no, they had the view that the A-League is not yet a premium brand, that we need to build the crowd and the fan base by having lower price tickets. And following what a lot of fans have noticed happened in Germany with the Bundesliga in its inception, and you've got 90,000 fans turning up to Borussia Dortmund matches every single week. They're the number one supported club in the world of football. So what's wrong with that model, Matt?
you sound like you're setting me up for an argument. And because you obviously know I disagree. The boys on the show, they knew that I feel oppositely, that it's dangerous. It can be dangerous, I feel, that clubs lowering the prices so significantly on their memberships, I feel it can be devaluing.
Actually,
the
league. This could work, because if Harry Kewell does come to the league and he's meant to be taking some of the membership money, then he's getting less money. He's so everyone's money. A winner. Oh, yeah. And the crowd goes wild.
Pete's enjoying his time on the desk. That's true, though, but I don't know if he's headed to the Jets.
Oh, anything's possible, you know. Nathan Tinkler, well, after he lost his Ferrari, anything's possible, but he could want to spend his money on Harry Kewell and be like, oh, yeah, I'll take Harry Kewell to work with me today rather than, oh, I'll take the Ferrari.
I think the only confirmation that we have that the club that he's not headed to is Central Coast Mariners. So speaking to Graham Arnold midweek.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I don't want him.
Don't want him. Well, no, not that he doesn't want him. Can't afford him.
Don't want him. Well, looking at Newcastle
hang on,
Jets.
Hang on. Yeah, just let me go on.
You've got an extra grud, don't you?
Yeah, I want to get my point out as to this lowering the prices, because clubs, they need to be aiming for these memberships to be worth something. A Jesse Fink article not so long ago talked to an MLS CEO or a manager, I believe, and his point was that he didn't want his memberships in the MLS, they're premium brand. They cost about $400 for a season, something like that. And he advises A-League clubs not to give away free tickets to lower prices, because at the end of the day, if you do that, it's a long-term commitment. If you lower those prices, you're not going to get them back up to a price that was similar to what you had before until, like, for 5-10 years. Because you saw at Brisbane Roar, they raised prices for one season not so long ago, and the crowds dropped. So if you lower the prices and then you decide, oh, that didn't work, that isn't doing anything, we actually can't afford this. Because you want the stadium deals that you've got to be paid for, in most part, by the ticket prices. And so if that doesn't work, if it backfires, then it's going to take a long time to get back up to the prices you initially had.
Yeah, look, that's true, Matt. And I agree with you to the extent that we don't want to devalue the A-League. We don't want to make decisions that we later change in the short term. But this would be a strategic arrangement. It would be something that the FFA handed down. They'd have a 5-to-10-year plan, and hopefully they'd do it in consultation with the clubs.
I like the idea that you think the FFA has a 5-to-10-year plan.
Yeah, well, and that they might do it in consultation with the clubs.
Question mark plans?
They might do it with the consultation of the clubs as well. But look, I tend to take the Friday show's view on this and Quigs and Lyle's view that this A-League brand that we're talking about in the broader community, I mean, and we live and breathe this thing and eat it as well. but the broader community, they don't get this on Fox Sports, because they just don't have it. And they have to go to a pub to watch it. And they'll only ever watch it by coincidence. So I really think in order to talk about the A-League brand, we really need to democratize it. We need to allow lots of people to buy a ticket for $5 or $10 and to get there. Talking about giving away tickets for free, that's something I'm pretty much ideologically opposed to. The yep. Waratahs have been doing it recently with their attempt at a Cove, and as vomitous as it is, they're called the Tami Army.
And a little bit of a spew just in my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a bunch of songs which apparently have been written by, you know, the ARU. They give away free tickets to anyone who calls themselves a Tami Army person. I mean, it's just not organic. There's nothing in that. And that would devalue football, because, you know, rational fan culture is something that is organic in that league.
But football, soccer has that already ingrained. We'd have this, what the Tar Army is trying to build or manufacture. We already have that. So we don't necessarily have to worry about that too much, because the Cove, the Den, whoever, whichever.
Not the Marinators, you got done for that.
The Yellow Army, I apologise to my good friend Carly Carmichael. We apologise.
Yeah, but I am ideologically opposed to free tickets. I mean, as long as they accompany a full ticket being purchased, or a junior footballer getting a free ticket by virtue of the fact that they're part of a club that's affiliated with Football New South Wales. But I do think that the prices need to be lowered. I think that we need to get to the time where it's, you know, it's $10, we can go, and it's just a nice summer thing to do.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand the Bundesliga situation where they lowered prices to $10 and now they've brought them back up and they get these massive crowds, and they've built that league quite substantially over the past years. So, sure, lower them for perhaps a little bit, and I understand, because there's going to be less games this season anyway, less home games, so membership prices will come down, I assume, or at least stay on par. If only the other club, I believe, that could possibly lower prices substantially is Gold Coast United, and they have the money to do that, but just across the board, across the league, I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back with all the Matildas chat from the past week.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Yeah, we suggest you do that.
Definitely.
Jump on the website.
Your one article, which is on the website, claiming a lot of abuse at the moment.
Wow.
Christian Leyland's.
Critical analysis.
Abuse. Christian Leyland's article about the Matildas match against Brazil. Now, the amount of comments we're getting on that and, I guess, people responding to it in a negative way.
Let's quickly go through what the article was about. Firstly, it was in the wake of Australia losing to Brazil 1-0, we had Christian Leyland, who is really an aficionado of the women's game, writing what he thought was a landmark article, that is that, a critical article about a Matilda's performance. It wasn't lauding the fact, you know, that we seem to do constantly, that women are playing football. That's not a story anymore. Christian wrote that perhaps a 1-0 loss to Brazil was something that we shouldn't be so proud of, and that we should critically analyse. We've spoke to Anne O'Dong, who's in the Oz women's game. She's taken a different view, that the girls did the very best that they could under the conditions. Really, it's garnered a different response from some of the Matildas in the camp.
And no doubt the girls did do the best that they could under the conditions. They World Cup situation, they would have tried as they would have given 100%, no doubt. It's just about there's a few critical points there in the article that need to be looked at, possibly by the coaching staff, whoever needs to make some changes for the next couple games, the Equatorial Guinea match and the Norway match. Norway, I believe, will be the harder of the three matches. I believe that Brazil...
You obviously don't know anything about Equatorial Guinea, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Equatorial Guinea.
Have half a Brazilian squad who didn't actually make it into the Brazil's first team, and half Spain's national team squad. So, look, they're not going to be an easy team to just walk over.
But
they did lose really, really good side.
They lost 1-0 to Norway. What does that tell you?
Yeah, well, we lost 1-0 to Brazil, and we could have played much better football.
It could have been 3-0 to Norway.
And building upon what Christian said about the Brazilian side, essentially Christian's thesis was, well, Brazil, powerhouses in the men's game, rightly so, five-time World Cup winners, unparalleled success. But in the women's game, they're not the powerhouse that they are. And the fact that Equatorial Guinea has half a Brazilian squad that didn't make the Brazilian side probably doesn't say much about Equatorial Guinea as a football nation. But it also, we shouldn't freak out at that point. And I think that's what Christian was trying to say. And he was also trying to say that, well, perhaps the girls could have been a bit more ruthless and a bit more clinical in front of goal. And I know Anne has her views about the fact that the girls couldn't hear one another, that had to be 2 metres away from each other. And perhaps that's something quite new for some of these girls and in women's football generally. But at a high level, in the men's game, that's a reality. You cannot hear each other. You have to be that much more switched on in the mind, and it's a learning experience, no doubt. A lot of these girls are quite young, and they've done the best they could, no doubt. But
exactly. Well, look, against Brazil, we had 7 debutants playing.
And why is that? Why was that? Because there were some key members of the squad left out. Claire Polkinghorne, Sally Shepard.
Look, okay, Claire Polkinghorne, she was left on the bench because Caitlin Ford is a much better right back. And we already had Kim Carroll and Savannah Uthla. No, I don't think so.
Even on the left?
Nope, don't agree. Sally Shepard, No, I don't think she should have started. She was very good when she came on for the last 20 minutes, but I don't think she should have started. If anything, Heather Garriott should have been pushed more into the centre midfield, and they should have played someone out as left back.
And that's in the article.
Like that is the one thing I think I actually agree with Christian in during his article.
Formation?
Yeah, that's the one thing. Because looking at the rest of his article and looking at some of these comments that he's getting, like one person has said, this is the worst article ever. If the Matildas are meant to be a powerhouse, then the Socceroos are absolutely embarrassing. The W League is nowhere near the top leagues in the world, and women's football is so young.
I understand.
Obviously have no idea about the women's game.
Which is completely wrong, because he has a perfectly great idea and view and understanding of the world game. And you fail to look to read out some of the better comments there. And I know for a fact that he's had lots of critical responses from pundits as well, more so than fans.
I just don't think it's such a bad thing for anyone to criticise the Matildas. Criticism and analysis is what makes a team better. It puts pressure on people. And look, Tom Samani's been in the game with the Matildas for at least 15 years, and that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But he probably... We chatted to him on the Beyond the 90, and he's an absolute servant to the game, but he's probably not used to a bit of criticism, and I think it's good for the team. I think it's inherently good.
Can I just say, Christian, in the article, wrote that possibly the coaching staff was at fault to an extent, and that Tom Samani, having been in the game for so long, now the game has changed, and because he was the coach 15 years ago, there should be possibly a new coach. And I'm not... I do not disagree anymore.
Christian must have had a couple of beers when writing that article, now, because that's just stupid.
Can I also... I agree with you, Pete. Tom Samani is a fantastic coach, and there's no way that he has rested on his laurels for the past 15 years. He will have grown with the game. I'm sure he's furthering this himself.
One thing to quickly mention, it was actually his birthday yesterday. So if you haven't already sent him a message on Twitter, send him a message and say happy birthday to him. It will make his day.
Talking about birthdays, it's my brother's birthday today, and I'm headed up to Brisbane straight after this show to congratulate him on his 22nd. So happy birthday, Andrew.
Yeah, but I think... Yeah, happy birthday, Andrew. But I think, you know, we can't not criticise a team if we hold a view. And I think that's my position. On this, I understand that there is a school that says, well, we shouldn't criticise people when they're at the World Cup. I understand that there's a school that says it's probably not good for team morale. But I don't think that necessarily being critical of a performance means that the whole World Cup is going to be destroyed. If that's the response from a playing group, then that's probably not a playing group that deserves to get out of a group. They should be playing for themselves and for their country and for the badge. And I'm not saying that that's what they weren't doing on during that game, but you know, I do believe the Matildas are good enough to go, I think, all the way. We just want them to play like that, and I think that's where we're coming from.
Yeah, it's the expectation that as Aussies we want any international team to do well. We always have these kind of unfounded expectations, I guess, that they will win everything that they enter.
But in this instance, I think it's founded. I think we are a team that can win the World Cup. And we're all backing these girls because they're Asian Cup champs. Mm. They've got a very young squad, granted. But, you know, Tom Samani is a good coach. There's no doubt in my mind that he's a good coach.
He's a great coach.
I just think that we need to get a sense of reality. We need to see that, okay, you know, big teams, they might not start a World Cup in the best of shape. We've seen that with a lot of countries. They might lose the first game, but they build form. And there's nothing wrong with criticising an early performance. It's just now over to the girls to step up and to show them what we know that they're capable of.
Well the next stage they're going to do that against Equatorial Guinea, that game's actually on tonight, SBS 2, 9:30. The game against Norway, that is on Wednesday night. So definitely check out both of those games.
Yeah, definitely check that out. On the critical analysis of the first match of a World Cup, how much did the Socceroos get analysed? Analysed, I use that term quite... With loosely.
It was very different set of circumstances, I think.
Okay, think about it this way. Matildas actually can win a World Cup. Socceroos can't. I'm putting it out there. Socceroos don't have a squad to be able to win a World Cup at the moment. Give it like 4 or 5 years and we might actually have an opportunity. Matildas do. Okay, they need the support. Christian's article, I don't think he's giving any form of support at all to the Matildas because they actually read these things.
I think the support was there. I think he wants them to be better. I think that's quite clear. And you know, he's a guy who he coaches a women's team. I understand he knows Claire Polkinghorne. I don't think his MO in this was to write an article that made the girls feel bad about themselves. I think it was an analysis of tactics and display and performance, and there's nothing personal in that. I really hesitate to you know allow somebody who's writing to have to bite their tongue. I think that we need to be strong enough, have the fortitude enough to take some criticism on the chin and play the next game and show the rest of the country, you know, who they are and what they're playing for. And I'm really looking forward to this match tonight. I think it'll be a great opportunity for them to do that.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, do you want to move on to some New South Wales Premier League news?
Let's quickly talk some New South Wales Premier League. Overnight, there was only one game played, and that was Parramatta FC versus Sutherland Sharks. Now, the result there, very interestingly enough, was 1-0 to Parramatta, the goal scorer being Daniel Fogarty, in the 49th minute, I believe. Now, that means that last place Parramatta, the team that we possibly should have been coaching, who knows, we would have got the win, I feel, as well.
The Sunday show, we are really going to coach one of these state league sides eventually. We've put out enough CVs. We're going to get there.
Yep. Yeah, we have spread ourselves and our applications thin in the hope that one day we will coach Premier League football. Manny Spanadakis, did I get that right?
Yeah, you got that right. I think he's doing well.
Yeah, good job to get the result against a top team, maybe not
sitting
in form.
They're sitting third now.
Maybe not in form, Pete, because they've had an interesting run of football lately.
Yes, Sutherland, hot and cold ever since round 7, basically. We're looking at round 15 now. They really have to turn it around because there's not long left of this season to go.
And you said that Robbie Stanton will be highly upset with this, and rightly so.
Yeah, definitely. And why not? Because the way that his team should be performing, and they are a second-half team, and they should have really demolished Parramatta. Like, I see no reason. Looking at the team's lists today, I see no reason why Sutherland Sharks didn't actually win that game easily 3 or 4-0.
Very true. Now, the rest of the games will be happening later on today, so we won't discuss those because why would we?
Exactly. I'm going to have my New South Wales Premier League wrap up during the week, so that way we'll be able to catch up with all of that news there.
Great. So if you do want to catch up with any of the state leagues across the country, New South Wales Premier League, Queensland State League, Victorian Premier League, or the WA All Flags State League, jump on our website, jumponthefootballsack.com. If you want to hear some critical analysis or some more talk about the Matildas' second venture against Equatorial Guinea, tune in to the Friday show. That is obviously on Friday, hosted by Craig and Lales.
So what day is the Friday show on?
Friday.
Shut up!
Yesterday was Thursday. Today it is Friday.
Shut up! For goodness sake.
We should quickly mention our sponsors, North Coast Football Academy. They are hosting 21-day tours for anyone to partake in. If you are interested in being a player or a referee and touring the United Kingdom around plenty of grounds, seeing some Premier League matches, participating in some games, going to some football museums, it's all paid for in this one amount. Everything is included, flights, accommodation, insurance, whatever. Just jump on our website. There's an ad there that and a phone number that you can call to book that. It would be a great time, I believe, Pete.
Yeah, definitely. It should be a fantastic experience, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, that's for sure. You get to experience tours of Wolverhampton home ground. You've got Nottingham Forests. You get to go to Old Trafford.
There's a cool thing you get
fantastic.
To do is archery in Sherwood Forest.
Yeah, why
that's
not?
Pretty cool.
Robin Hood.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Get my Russell Crowe on.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is about all we have time for. Thank you, firstly, Supernova, for being on the show.
No worries. Hopefully I'll get the call up next week as well.
Rojek, great to have you in the studio. Hope to see you again next week as well.
For sure. Thanks very much, guys.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.